This podcast is brought to you compliments of Kaspersky Lab, protecting more than 300 million systems worldwide against internet threats.
Okay, welcome to the Digital Underground podcast. I've got Cesar Cerruto of IOActive Labs as my guest today. And we're going to talk a little bit about some research that he did recently on sort of gathering information on C-level executives, basically based just on their email address, trying to see how much information was leaking from the various websites and what he could find out about their online lives. And so, Cesar, I know you spoke about this originally a little bit at in Las Vegas this year at Black Hat, not at the conference, but at the iOASIS thing that you guys did. How did the idea for this come to you? What was the original idea behind this research?
You know, when it was, I was curious because, you know, when you try to log in on any website, if you put a wrong password, then the website won't tell you what was wrong. If the email or password, it would tell you there is a problem with the login, etc. But I was curious because I tried once to register in a website, and I tried any email address, and the website told me that that email was already registered. So it was funny because while on the login page you cannot guess emails, you can do it on the registration page. The same with the forgot password functionality. If you go to any forgot password functionality of most websites, if you put an email that doesn't exist, the website will tell you we didn't find your email on our database. Or if they find it, they will say, okay, we will send you a link to recover your password, or they will ask you a secret question, etc. So it's very easy to guess in this way, in these both ways, if a user is registered in a website or not. But as you can see, this is a really simple, and when I tell you this becomes very obvious, and it could seem like it's not important or it's not big deal. Mm-hmm. So I tried to figure out a scenario where this could be used for information gathering, for targeting a person. So I found the most, maybe we can say, critical scenario is when you are targeting C-level executives, because it's not very difficult to get their email address. There are semi-public email leads where you can get a lot of emails from C-level executives, or you can buy leads from some vendors that send database of several emails.
Yes.
And what I did was build a big list of email address, corporate email address from C-level executives for Fortune 500 companies. And then built a simple script where, in order to generate the data used by this script, I have to take a look at different websites that are commonly used by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I look at their registration mechanisms and the forgot password functionality. So I identify what were the requests you have to do in order to guess if an account was already created there with the email or not. So I built this database from like 30 websites or so, and then I ran the script, and I got really interesting results. I found that a lot of executives use their corporate address, email address, in common websites. It could seem simple, like you can know where a person has an account in some website, but sometimes it tells you more than that, because executives are like any other person, so they travel, they rent cars, they fly, they go to hotels, they use devices, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can start mapping all of this, you get a lot of really useful information. For instance, there are some GPS watches that are used for, you know, for running. You can,
yeah, I have one.
So there's one from Garmin, another for Nike. So they have a website where you can upload all the information that was registered in the watch. So you can see all the time you did when running different laps, etc. And it will show you in a nice map, etc. And so if you guess that someone has an account there, you also guess the watch, the GPS watch that person used. So you are getting extra information from that. Also, you can map what online news they read. What, for instance, if they use the read news from New York Times, for Wall Street Journal, etc.
Mm-hmm.
What services they use, like Dropbox or some media streaming website like Hulu, Netflix. You can get a lot of information, and also some website will give you extra information. For instance, I was able to get, for instance, the number of the miles program from a person, one of the websites. If you guessed the email in the recover password functionality, the next step, they will show you your R miles program number. So that's an extra information. It's not it could be or not very useful. It depends on what you're planning to do with that and what attack are you building.
Right. It also depends on what other information you have on that person already, and yeah, what you're trying to do with it once you get it all.
Yes, this allows you to get really tiny pieces of information, but when you put everything together, it gets more valuable. And you can build sometimes a very detailed profile of a person. And also, it's very common to do password reuse. So if you find a website that is not very well protected and you can hack the website and you can get password from there, then mm-hmm. if the person reuse the password, then you get access to almost all the websites. And it was funny because during this research, I was looking at some very famous hotel webpage, a hotel chain webpage.
Yeah.
I saw some weird things in the recovered password form, and I looked at the code at the form, and it was a really simple mistake they had, where you can put your email address. After, because it was a two-step, right? So it will ask you for the name and for the email.
Okay.
So the next step, they will ask you a question. Do you want us to send you the password, or do you want to answer a secret question?
Mm-hmm.
In the second step, I look at the HTML code, and I found some hidden input fields, and one of them was having the email address I previously entered in the first step. So I thought, okay, what happens if I change this and I put another email? So I changed
right.
it and I tried, and they sent me the password to the other email. And it was a really famous hotel chain, like 5-star hotels. So it was possible to get password from any account. They will just send you the password to your email. Of course,
wow.
I notified them and they fixed it. But the point is that if you can map a person's account on 20 websites, then you only have to find one weak website, and then maybe you can hack it and then get access to all the accounts on all the websites. That's a possibility, and We know that it's very common to reuse passwords.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And as you said, you know, they might seem like small little pieces of information that you're gathering. You know, the fact that somebody has a Facebook account or that they use Netflix or something like that. But when you combine that with the fact that you know that they use a certain hotel chain, maybe, you know, if you pay attention to what this company is doing and where their CEO is traveling, you can figure out where he's going at any given time, when he might not be home, those kind of things. This is all the kind of stuff that attackers, you know, might be gathering before they launch an attack on somebody.
Right. And it's very simple. You have just to know the person's email address, and then you can manually try it, or you can build a simple script and automate it. In case you want to use this for performing attacks or for penetration tests, it's very easy to automate all the process from the information gathered to the attack phase. Mm-hmm. Because first you collect all emails, for instance, from some specific company. Then you build a list with all those emails. Then you try those emails on different websites. You start to map them to websites' accounts. And then you can start sending phishing emails to the similar to the ones that are normally sent by this website. For instance, if I know you use a email, for instance, for Dropbox, I can send you a phishing email saying, okay, your Dropbox account is full. Log in to free space or something like that. And that's not, a shot in the air, because I already know you have an account there. So I'm targeting specifically you with all this information I have. So I have more chances to succeed in the attack.
Right. Anything that gives you a little bit of credibility with the target is going to be helpful if you're the attacker.
Yeah, also if you find a cross-site scripting on the site, you can use it for making it more real, the attack, because you can modify the web page, the real web page. The user will be more difficult to him or her to identify you are trying to phish.
Right. Yep. So what should, if you're an executive at one of these companies or at any, or someone who's concerned about, personal privacy and security, what should you do aside from, you know, obviously not using your corporate email account to hook up to social networks and other things like that?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. I was just saying, you know, if you're somebody like me or anyone else that's concerned about these kinds of attacks where people are just able to gather all these little pieces of information about you, what kind of things can you do to defend yourself?
Well, the obvious question is not to use the corporate email address for nothing else than just email, right?
Right.
You can have different email accounts, or maybe it's just one account that you don't give to anyone and you use it for registering websites, or maybe create alias. You know, some email services will allow you to, you can create a domain, right, a domain name, and then hire some email services and create several alias and put a different email on different website when you register. For instance, if you register to, for instance, Netflix, you can use netflix@yourdomain.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the same with any website. But then you get all that email addresses redirected to a specific one that you only know about that. So in case some website is hacked, that email address that is in the database won't be used anywhere in any other place, and won't be also a valid email account because you are redirecting it to a master account. I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's not something that I considered before, but it's a good one. If you set up all these various aliases that all just point to just the one email address that you can actually log into, that's a good idea.
Yeah, or but it depends on the site, right? Sometimes you just need to register for downloading a report of an article, and then or for that kind of stuff, you can just enter any email address you don't use. But for some services that you are continuously using, you should be more careful and try to take extra precautions, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so is this something that you're going to continue with, maybe with a different group of subjects at some point?
Well, I already did a deep research on this. Actually, this is a second part of the research, because the first part was specifically for South American countries, because here in some South American countries, the problem is worse, because we have a national ID number. Any person has a national ID number, and that number is public. So anyone okay. can know that. It's similar to a social security number, but it's public. That number is used a lot on the website for identification. Instead of using the email address, they will ask you for your personal ID number. And because that's a public information, anyone can map where you have accounts on several different websites from services. For instance, cell phone companies, cable operators, banks, assurance companies. Mm-hmm. A lot of services use the national ID number as an identification.
Okay.
So there is a lot of countries in South America that works in the website works on this way. So it's more... The problem is worse because of this. And so I started with that, with that idea, you know, working with this way of identifying users. And then
yes.
I switched to emails on general worldwide websites, because first I started like a regional research for Argentina, Brazil, and other South America country, and then I started mm-hmm. to do it worldwide with email addresses. I found really interesting things here. For instance, in Argentina, I could start for like, I choose a victim. In the research I did, was a famous person, you know? Famous
yeah.
persons try to hide all their personal information because they don't want to be disturbed, you know.
Sure.
So I targeted a famous person. I started to collect all information I could without knowing much about this person. Just I know the name and the national ID number, maybe the birth date. I started to collect a lot of information, and I end up with all the banks this person uses, the assurance company the person using, the cell phone service provider they used.
Wow.
I got the personal addresses of the houses of this person, and I got the how do you say, the roof plant?
The floor plan?
The floor plan of the house, because it was a brand new house, and I could match his home address to a new building that was offering on the internet.
Wow.
So I got a lot of information without knowing anything. And I think every time we use internet, we less privacy we have.
Yes.
Because we are registered in so many websites, and information is just there, just one click away. I mean, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you are a C-level executive, if you are a famous person, or if you are a regular person, almost anyone can get your personal information and target you.
Right. Yeah, it's not difficult, as you showed. Yeah. So it's really interesting research, though. I'm glad that you did it, and I'm glad that hopefully people will take a look at it and think about the way that they use their email addresses and all this other identifying information. And hopefully the people that listen to this podcast already know not to reuse passwords on more than one site, but you never know.
Yes. Yeah, also, one of my colleagues at IoActive, Lucas Lundgren, he did a research. You saw the blog post.
Yes.
And wrote an article, one made to rule them all, which is pretty related with my research. So when you start putting everything together, you can see that this is a threat. This is a real threat, and it's
It really is. The stuff that Lucas did was really interesting, with just starting with somebody's email address and then, you know, gathering little pieces of information and using the password reset trick on various sites and, you know, eventually getting into people's email accounts. And that's the end of the game in a lot of cases, because people store so much valuable data in those email accounts.
Yeah. Yeah, this is... Like I said, this is something simple, but can have very serious implications.
Yes, absolutely. So, Cesar, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It was good to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you again soon at another conference somewhere.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this, so people can understand the issue more and can take precautions to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All right, Cesar. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, Compliments Kaspersky Lab, a world leader in internet threat protection for small, medium, and large enterprises. Visit Kaspersky.com for more information about their line of premium protection solutions.